Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, it's that time of day. The Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. Welcome back to the Midday Show here. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Every day at 1 o'clock, no matter what, we're diving into a different mock draft on the internet. And this is becoming a national sensation. This one was sent to us yesterday by listeners. So if you see a mock draft that you want us to talk about, especially if they're crazy ones, send it to us, tweet it at us, at WIP Midday Show. And I'm sure we'll use it between now and draft day. And this one's a little bit different. So most of the mock drafts we've done so far, your typical first-round mock, and we kind of go through the first 9 picks into the Eagles at 10, and we tell you what they did at 30. This one was kind of just an NFC East mock draft where they gave it the top 3 or 4 picks for each of the teams in the division. But here's why it's interesting. Hugh, we talked earlier, we played the cut of Lurie yesterday, basically saying it's all about offense. The NFL's all about offense. That's where we're going to put most of our resources. Well, perhaps the writer of this mock draft was listening to Jeffrey Lurie, because in the first round of this mock draft, the Eagles take two offensive players, starting off at number 10 with a wide receiver out of Ohio State, Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's a really good player. But wow, I mean, Hugh, a wide receiver at 10 just kind of blew me away.
Yeah, 6'1", like 200 some odd pounds, ran like a 4.5 at the combine, 197, ran like a 4.5 at the combine. I saw a mock with them, the Eagles taking him and working him into the offense. I know that a lot of people look at that and they think that that's not a great pick, but I can see the Eagles doing something like that, add more weapons to Jalen Hurts' arsenal. And I tell you what, man, as a defender, when you think about, because it's all about matchups, mm-hmm. and it's about personnel. You know, you go four wides, you go three wides, four wides. You're spreading your defense out. Most teams don't have the personnel on the back end to cover four receivers. Now, because you're talking about putting one of those linebackers out there to cover maybe your slot, you put them at the slot, that's a bad matchup for a linebacker.
Yep.
You better have a speedy, athletic linebacker. And if he, say for instance, if he's him being 6'1", and him going up against a linebacker and him not having any help, I like his chances against that linebacker, because he's not used to going up against a guy with that type of skill set. He used to covering backs out the backfield.
Well, I mean, just think about the talent they could have if they did this. If the Eagles went with a wide receiver at 10, Hugh, they'd have, you know, Goddard at tight end, this kid at number, you know, as a wide receiver in the slot, and then Brown and Devontae on the outside. It's a pot, like you're saying, it's a possible matchup. And the other thing is, if you go man against that, Jalen Hurts could just take off and run. You can't account for him.
Because everybody's running off and everybody has their backs turned, and that just makes it harder for you to get to the quarterback. I mean, get to him, because he's going to be, you know, you're going to be running with the receivers.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about, say your four wides. It would be Devontae, Smith, and Jigba. You put Dallas Goedert, you flex him out,
mm-hmm.
and have AJ on the other side. Who you covering? Like, who are you trying to cover? Because you don't have the personnel, in my opinion, to do that.
Well,
you don't have the personnel at all.
You don't. I mean, I would probably take my chances with the rookie and say, you beat me. But we've seen rookie receivers come in the league and play well right away.
Yeah, it's not one of those things where, you know, you come in here and he's going to be sitting behind learning. They're going to put him in a position where, say, hey, you go against this guy. You're going to be in the slot, run this route, do this play. This is going to be very simple for him, especially if you're doing that. Yeah, he could come in and have success immediately. You're talking about scoring like 30 or 40 points. I can see that.
So one of the things I thought, and the Eagles did a lot, mostly things well on offense last year. It was a tremendous offense. But they didn't do well against the blitz a lot of times. They didn't have answers. And, you know, Quez Watkins was kind of a nothing. Like, if they upgraded the slot receiver position, it was easy completions for Jalen Hurts against the blitz or against pressure. Boy, I mean, I doubt this happens. But the more we talk through it, Kyle, the more, you know, and listening to Lurie yesterday, nothing would shock me with them if they went with another offensive player.
Yeah, I just have zero interest in taking a wide receiver at pick number 10, at least, right? I just, the way I'm viewing this season and this draft and this offseason is an opportunity to capitalize on the window that this team has to win.
Really?
Thank you, Ike.
He changed it, man.
No, me and Ike are tight now. I've turned him against you. Look.
I was like, I didn't even see him. I just heard him.
Me too. It scared me.
He came in here all hostile.
He did, man.
What the hell am I signing up for?
I was getting nervous. I'm like, I thought I was going to have to dump something in there.
I wasn't ready. Yeah, I was not ready.
I wasn't ready for that at all. But anyway.
We got our own Will Smith situation brewing here.
Someone's getting slapped. Come on.
I am officially uncomfortable.
You say it on the airwaves, man. People don't let that stuff slip by, man. They don't.
It makes it so bad. He got a key card. There's nowhere we can go.
Not cool, Ike. Not cool. Totally threw me off. But I just have no interest in taking a player that, one, I guess in this case, a wide receiver, would be the fourth option in a target share. Like, there's already too many mouths to feed as it is with Dallas Goedert being the third option, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith sharing the targets, you know, going back and forth between being the number one each week. The Eagles right now, this season, going into this draft, are in a unique situation where we're sitting at the 10th pick, but not because we finished with an awful record and we need to rebuild. We should be looking at this as an opportunity to what is going to make the most impact on this team as it pertains to winning the Super Bowl this year? And I don't think so. I don't think taking a third wide receiver does that.
You know what that says? If I'm Jalen Devon, if I throw you the ball, you better catch it because I got three other options out there.
Well, right. So, I mean, I
you better catch it.
I
better not drop it.
I can picture the fans pulling their hair out at this Jackson Smith and Jigba guy getting, you know, maybe at max like 3, 4, 5 targets a game. And what the hell did we spend a 10th overall pick on this guy for?
If he get 5 targets a game, he go for over 100 yards. Because that's what we're talking about, Kyle.
Well,
Kyle, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be – nobody's being double teamed. If you're being double teamed, then your offense is garbage. You got some pretty good receivers out there. And you know what's funny? He wasn't even – like as good as he was – he wasn't even the best receiver on their team.
No, he wasn't. So, Harrison, right. Here's the thing.
That sounds great then. The guy I want.
If they do this, okay? Think about this for a second. They would have spent a first-round pick in 4 consecutive years at wide receiver. Rager, Devontae Smith, obviously A.J. Brown they traded for last year, and now this kid. 4 consecutive years.
That can't be a thing. I think that there's an option out there that I think to Jalen Hurts might be just a little bit more enticing. Might even be able to take a little bit of the load off of Jalen Hurts.
Talking about who was that other guy?
Yeah.
The kind of guy that visited Philadelphia a couple weeks ago.
The one that put up the Instagram post?
That's right.
Yeah, it seems like Kyle's ready to buy the jersey.
I'm planting the seeds.
He's ready to buy the Bijan jersey. All right, not only – let's make sure we wrap this up. Not only did the Eagles take a wide receiver offensive player 10 in this draft, at number 30, Hugh, they took another offensive player. They took a guard, Steve Avila, out of TCU. So they go wide receiver at 10, guard at 30.
Riveting.
Jeff Lurie's just like, defense does not matter.
I don't know about that.
I don't care about that defense.
See?
I don't know about that, though. I mean, but if they took that guard, then they feel like they've addressed the need up there with the young man.
Yeah.
He has to, in my opinion, he has to play.
Like
if they got him at that position, then definitely 6'4", 331 pounds. He's a load.
Well, yeah, he is. He's a big player.
He's a load.
But you know that would also mean Cam Jurgens sits for a second straight year, barring injury. That they have a second round pick on the bench for a second straight year.
Mm. No, I think you got to get him out there.
I agree.
Get him out there. Yeah.
Yeah, so what are we doing? Man, we're taking 2 backups in the first round. We need to win the Super Bowl next year.
I will say this.
Does anyone care about defense in Philadelphia anymore?
I will say this about TCU linemen, and this might not be a fair assessment, but, you know, I was in SEC country. you remember that game when they played against Georgia, right?
Yes.
Didn't they look a little doughy?
They got pushed around. Yeah.
They looked like mm-hmm. seriously. They looked a little doughy compared to Georgia's offensive line. I mean, yeah. But everybody. I mean, they looked a little like they had the baby fat.
Well, our most recent experience with drafting somebody out of TCU did not go swimmingly at all.
No. The Waterfalls got boat raced.
It went bad, actually. His name was Jalen Reagor. And his coach came on this radio stage, came on with DeCameron Ritchie, right? Was it before they drafted him or after?
It was after they drafted him.
And was like, yeah, he doesn't concentrate all the time.
He
like,
basically ripped him.
It was unbelievable. I was like, this is his coach.
He was like, his coach sounded shocked that he went in the first round. It was that was crazy.
He basically was like, yeah, I don't know about this guy.
Never heard anything like that before in my life. And this should tell you all you need to know about whether or not you should get behind this Jackson Smith and Jigba pick.
Mm-hmm.
I was all in on Jalen Reagor when
but
he
see,
came
that,
here.
But see,
I was too. That was right back.
That's not fair because he went to a better school, better program. And I think that he could have some success. I think he would have success in the role that he's going to be asked to play. He's going to be the slot.
Well, you know how we do it here. We make immediate comparisons to the worst.
I know that. Because you don't want to be hurt. Sides. You've been hurt before. You don't want to be hurt again. I get that.
Yeah, it happens. All right, Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. We'll do it again tomorrow. Let's go to the phone lines here. David is in Germantown. What's up, David?
All right, good afternoon. Jalen Hill, 10-2.
What's going on, man? How
you
doing
today? David?
Man, I got to go to the dentist. I got to get some major dental work done. Major drilling, impact teeth. But anyway, I'm working, you know. I'm working. Yeah, I'm always like, available.
Hey, that sounds like a lot of money. like you talk about being spent. That sounds like a lot of. That's
yeah, I wish I had a hockey doctor, but you know, nevertheless, we still move on. But yeah, man, I kind of swayed away from the MB. If he don't want to play, like I felt as though genuinely he's darn if he do and darn if he don't. But that's a game you got to make yourself available, dude. What are you talking about, your calf? You're not physically maimed. You are no way where you're not able to perform. Now, you chose to take off. That's fine. You want to call out from work? That's your obligatory duty as a man. Vice versa, some people go to work with more dealing deeper issues than you got. I mean, you ain't even playing, what, 82 games? People go to work 360 days a year almost.
Yeah, they do, David. I mean, they do. Yeah, and listen, it certainly was disappointing the other night. We all wanted to watch you play. I mean, that's the disappointment.
You know what? When he because that was the game, one of those games, he would have like 9 straight 30-point games in a row.
Yep.
He was like, nope, not playing. I looked at the stat sheet. I'm like, 16 minutes? But dude, why you even put the suit on? Why you even dress up to do this thing? If you know driving into work, you ain't going to participate. Then just put your street clothes on, sit on the bench, and it's pom poms out. And my other issue was Castellanos. I don't trust him.
Yeah, I don't trust him either. How come, David?
Because he had that episode in the locker room last year. They were just asking a question. Again, it's your obligatory duty as a man to answer the question.
Come on, man. That's a stupid question.
You flip off the owner. I mean, you flip off the whole press. That's just bad karma. And if you know Philly, like I know Philly, we are zero tolerance for any type of BS. It's a blue collar town. We get up, we go to work. We don't complain. We just go use your intestinal fortitude to move on and go forward.
And well, David, you're right about that. And David, we always appreciate your phone call. The Castellanos thing with Jim Salisbury that we played a few times, just played there, that to me was like, it really had nothing to do with Jim Salisbury. It had nothing to do with the question. That was him and his emotions coming out because he probably realized I hadn't got a hit in months.
He was frustrated, and it was a pointed question. And to be honest, and to be fair, most people probably would not have asked him that question. I don't foresee him being asked that question directly in Cincinnati.
I agree.
Because I would say, with my dealings in Atlanta, that the media is not treated with the same respect as they are here. It's a little different. So I would say that, you know, he probably felt some kind of way, but then when he realized that, you know, Jim was kind of somebody. He was that dude that he, you know, he realized that, hey, maybe I shouldn't have did that.
I mean, like, just on a human level, I can see where he's coming from with that. Like, if I was really struggling in my profession and I was hearing it and somebody's like, hey, did you hear that? Like, yeah, like, no bleep, dude. Come on. Like, leave me the hell alone. But, you know, in his profession specifically, you need to keep up the appearances for the media, for the fans, and tough look for the guy.
You know, it's funny. I remember when I was in Jacksonville, I was having a rough one. We all know about it. We ain't got to talk about it, but it was rough.
Oh, let's do it.
And I waited. I waited before I started firing off the sidewalls to the absolute last game of the season.
You got to wait.
I waited. I would answer the question, like, hey, you're not playing well. Well, you know, whatever. And at the end of the year, I was like, I can't wait to get out of this place. I hate it here. But that was the last game.
And you knew it was, you're out?
It's a wrap for me. It's over. I'm not coming back.
How long into that season did you realize that it was going to be only a year there?
Ooh, about the first game.
That Jacksonville media, man.
What are you doing down here? No, it was like, I remember the guy's name, Bart Hubbish. He wrote a story, and I didn't tell him this, but he was talking about how much I missed being in Philly. And I was like, man, why you write that story? Well, you know, you miss Philly. I'm like, man, you know, I had some choice words back. It was us, a young man making, you know, idle threats, and I, you know, said some things. But yeah, it was a bad look, man. It was a bad look. I regretted taking the money. I really did. But if I had to do it all again, I'd take it.
Well, one day Nick Castellanos will host a radio show and maybe say the same things. You know, I regret it, but I would do it all over again.
$100 million, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Yeah, you could deal with Jim Salisbury's questions for $100 million. Black Gritty is up. What's up, Black Gritty?
What up, man? Joey Berhew, what it do?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm great. So, you know, just to put this out there, man, Joey Bear hung up on me one day. I consider this like the barbershop. You know,
Joe,
I mean,
hung up on you, man.
So, I mean, it happened. Him and Spike was.
It's his favorite story. He tells it all the time.
But it happened. You know, one time. You know what I mean? This is a barbershop. It's family out here.
I'm appalled.
Sometimes we get rowdy. Sometimes you can't get a haircut today because you were talking too loud. You know what I'm saying? But it's all love out here in these Philadelphia streets. It's all love. You know, you get a ruffle no feather. Sometimes you get banged on. It's okay. It's okay. Now, let me tell you something. What's not okay, Joey Bear, is you being negative. I need you to get your new pillow on the way home tonight so you can get a good night's rest and wake up and be positive, okay?
Listen, wait. I feel good about the Phillies. They're going to be really good. It's this Castellanos. I don't believe it.
And that's why I'm trying to get you a pillow, brother, so you can flip it, cool it, rub it down, and wake up fresh tomorrow, your opening day, and have a positive mindset on Castellanos. I got all year to rip him and anything that goes wrong with the team. But right now, it's Mr. Positive. It's Mr. Positive. Like, no Negadelphia. You know what I'm saying? I believe he's going to do better. You know why? Because I hope he does better, because if he don't do better, we got a problem. And I don't want no problems, Joey Bear. So get yourself a pillow, get yourself a good night's sleep, and let's roll. And as far as the Sixers are concerned, and Joel Embiid, if we don't leave Joel Embiid alone and remember that we still got Harris on this team making a max contract and we ain't really got the team around the guy that we supposed to have around the guy, shut up. They better do something this year, though, because if the city going to be on fire. Love you guys. Great show. It's the Barbershop. You ever bang on me again, Joey Bear? I'm going to come looking for you.
All right, Black Gritty. Appreciate you, buddy.
We do. See, for whatever reason, around this time of the day, it just goes south.
Yeah.
The last couple of days, this went south. We've had threats. We've had, like, beefs. What's going on?
I don't know,
man?
But I gotta take.
Starting to get warm out here in the city too. What's going on?
The 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I need to address that.
You need to get some water ice.
That'd be nice.
You need to get some water.
You see, there's a local brewery doing a collaboration. They're making like a water
brew beer,
a Rita's flavor beer.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I'll try it.
Even a beer flavored.
No, I think you want the beer. That's what
you said. Yeah, I want the beer. Yeah,
you want the beer.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. I just wanted to just take everyone behind the scenes because everyone's getting upset about getting hung up on. Here's the thing. It's like you're talking just to Hugh and I, but there are people out there listening. Like once we feel like the conversation isn't good for the audience anymore, we got to move on. Like that's what it is.
Wait a minute, you were talking about you. Wait, let me finish.
Yeah, like
that does get up. It's like it gets a little, it's a little testy up in here.
Yeah, it's not personal. It's just we got to move it along.
There's also another misconception that I feel like now I'm obligated to address is that the producer is the one that hangs up on you. It's not me. Sometimes it may be. I might dump you and I might,
Oh, you mean I have a dump button over here?
Oh, yeah, you can dump people.
For real? Where is it at?
Oh, well, you should. I thought there was one. I knew there was one next to Gilio. I don't know about you.
We could turn it around. Yeah,
show me that button. Show me that button.
Well, we have our own self-dump buttons.
In case you
make a mistake. Yeah.
I like when it get like me personally. I like when it get personal though.
Well, I think it's fun
like you get other people scared when they come at you when it becomes a personal attack. It's not personal.
No, you're right. Yeah,
it's not personal.
You brush it off.
None of this is personal.
We invite it
until
yeah.
Castellanos hits one for 13 this weekend.
Castellino.
Yeah, that's right. And like again, I it's not about being positive. I don't need a new pillow tonight, Black Gritty. I want the guy to hit. That's all. And he didn't hit last year. Like the guy swung at every pitch low and away for 3 months. That's the truth. Drew's in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Drew.
Hey, guys. So I got a point on the Eagles at the end, but with the Phillies first. First off, happy opening day, Eve. I'm going to be calling you guys tomorrow. It's your opening day. It's my favorite day of the year. I take off work every year, watch all the games, so I'm super pumped.
Oh, it's going to be great, Drew. Awesome day tomorrow. We can't wait for it.
Now, on Castellanos, I do have hope he can bounce back. You know, I think there's a track record of, you know, he had the bad 2020 pandemic season and bounced back. So I do have hope, but we're going to know pretty quickly, because I'm hoping he's going to have a slightly different approach at the plate. You know, I remember, I think it was the clinching game against the Braves last year. I think Schwarber had walked. Charlie Morton was having a hard time, like, finding the strike zone. And he came up there and just started swinging at, like, absolute flop and blew a scoring opportunity. So I do think he's going to bounce back. But if he, you know, swings at the first DeGrom slider that's, like, 3 feet off the plate tomorrow, I'm going to call you guys Friday and be upset about it. So I think we're going to know pretty quickly if it's going to work or not.
I think you're right, Drew. I mean, I think that – because the book hasn't changed, right? DeGrom is going to come out tomorrow, and he's going to throw the ball low and away, the slider off the plate, and he's going to make Castellanos not swing at the pitch. He's going to keep throwing it all game until he just lays off it.
Yeah, I said to a friend earlier, I think, you know, if there were, like, betting odds on him swinging at the first pitch tomorrow, I think it's probably, like, minus 170. But I hope he doesn't actually do it.
Yeah.
Now on the Eagles – I just thought it was really interesting listening to Jeffrey Lurie's press conference last night about how he talked about Sirianni, you know, really like vetting assistant coaches, not just relying on people who he knows. And I don't think he was intentionally taking a shot at Doug Peterson, but it was just fascinating to me because I think that's really what did Doug in at the end. So I was kind of, you know, I'm happy that Sirianni's done that, but I was surprised that Jeffrey was so kind of upfront
about
it.
Drew, I felt the same thing. It was like I don't think he was trying to take a shot, and Drew appreciated it. But you, one of the things with Doug that kind of why it went sideways is that he just didn't hire good assistants. Like he lost Frank Reich, and then the coordinator offense was bad after that. Like he didn't have a group of like the next wave. And yesterday, when Lurie was giving credit to Sirianni for how good he is at hiring, I was thinking that like.
He's taking a little bit of a shot.
Yeah, because he was upset at Doug for not having like a
backup plan.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have contingency plans because you know if you have success that there are guys that are going to be leaving. And the biggest thing when I think of coaching and coaching successors, you have to make sure that the one thing that you do is keep the train moving. You know, when you talk about that's from people that work within the building, that's coaches, that's staff that, you know, you're talking about scouts and everything, that's everybody. You have to keep that train moving because that's your lifeline. That's your lifeblood. When I think of one of the organizations now, last year, you know, they weren't the team that they had been before, but they were still pretty good. Think about the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and the model that they follow, they draft and they've been the same team for decades. I'm talking about strong running back play. Over the last couple of years, it's been strong quarterback play.
Pass rush, linebackers.
Pass rush, defense. Yep. They try to draft the same kind of guys. And I think in order to have success like the success that they've had, that's what you have to do. You can't have a whole lot of shakeup and philosophy changes and things of that nature. You want to kind of have guys that fall in lockstep and can identify the players that fit the mold that you've implemented.
Well, especially with Sirianni not calling plays, it's going to keep happening. Like, if Brian Johnson's good, he's going to be a head coach soon. So they're going to have to keep replacing it. It's kind of part of the story now here in Philadelphia. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Castellanos, you're buying the bounce back. A lot of Embiid discussion as well today and everything that Jeffrey Lurie had to say yesterday at the NFL owners' meetings. Plus, on the other side, Hugh saw a story this morning. We have to address it. That's next. What's in Hugh's head? And a controversy brewing already in the WIP Fantasy Baseball League. An integrity breach this morning. We got to bring it up. It's coming up here. And all your phone calls on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The tournament's heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets. If your first bet doesn't win, just go to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you could wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. Look, you go on there right now, and you could take any of the four teams to win the Final Four. I like the favorite, UConn, to finish off on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. I really like the FanDuel app, so don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Let's go to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to sign up. Make every
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, I always got to set these up because I know somebody's in the car. Once I tell this story, they're going to ask if they don't hear the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell did he get here? Like seriously, how the hell did you get here? Yes, basically. So this morning, you know, we come in every morning, and, you know, we're doing show prep. We come in like an hour early and get ready for the show. Joe does a great job. Joe and Kyle, for that matter, do a great job of having different topics that we bounce around and everything. So I'm looking at my phone trying to keep up with some of the stories, and you all know that there are certain things that your phone has algorithms.
Yes.
That they ping certain stories that your phone might feel might interest you. So this is what happened when I picked up my phone. I saw something about a story about a woolly mammoth meatball. So now I'm like, oh, that's nice. Let me go down this rabbit hole. And they were talking about how scientists have made this woolly mammoth meatball that they're afraid to eat. So, you know, Joe, like, the one thing I like about Joe will go down that rabbit hole with me. Like, because I said, Joe, you hear about this meatball? And he's like, what you talking about? I was like, a woolly mammoth meatball. So he's like, he Googled it, right? And then we start talking about the fact that they are bringing back woolly mammoths. He really got them. So now this is where it gets interesting. I'm now Googling, why the hell are we bringing back woolly mammoths? Because, listen, people, this is about to happen. Their target date is 2027. And from Joe's math, because he did the quick math on it, that's only like 4 years from now. So in 4 years, they said that we are going to have woolly mammoths that are going to populate Eurasia and North America. And now this is where the story gets in. Like, why the hell are we bringing back woolly mammoths? And how are we bringing them back? So now this company, I forgot the name of the company, but it's a Dallas-based firm where they received $60 million in funding in to continue this mammoth gene editing work that started in 2021. So this is something that they've been working on for a while. And their biggest thing, they're telling us, well, the story goes, that they're bringing back the Willie Mammoth so that they can help tamp down, I guess, the global gases out there in those countries to help global warming. They say they're going to get, I guess, whatever they do, they're going to help global warming. And
okay.
Basically, they'll make it colder. I don't know how. I don't know how that's going to work.
It's global warming 101.
I just found it interesting. So now I'm like this. I'm asking questions. Okay, what makes you think, because you've tracked the migrations of the Willie Mammoths and you found out that this is where they normally go and migrate towards. Mm-hmm. What makes you think that these Willie Mammoths are going to do the same thing? Because they're not the old Willie Mammoths. These are genetically modified Willie Mammoths. So what makes you think that they're going to have the hard wiring in them to do the same thing that the other Willie Mammoths have done?
Yeah, how do we know?
What if they go on a rampage? What if they decide that they like the taste of human flesh?
Is there an angrier breed of Willie Mammoths?
Yes. It's like Jumanji. I mean, yeah, you don't want that.
No, seriously. Like, what makes you think? Like, what makes you think that y'all smart enough that you're going to make these creatures and they're going to do exactly what the old Willie Mammoths did?
Yeah, so I see a lot of problems with this. Number one, I'm a believer, and I think we all should be, in evolution, right?
Like, yes, let whatever happened happen.
Yeah,
let it be done.
It's done, right? So there's a reason, like, for whatever happened in the world, these things aren't around anymore. We should not just mess with them and decide we're going to bring it back. Number two, I'm actually really concerned now with this global warming part of it. Because it tells me they're flat out of ideas how to cool this earth down.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? The guy in the back's like, guys, I don't really have anything else besides, hell, let's bring back Willie Mammoth.
I'm not sitting here thinking, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I'm like, damn it, how are they going to help bring, what? How are they going
to
help make it cooler?
Well, if this is the best idea we have, we are in big trouble.
Well, here's the thing, and if you're like me and believe that Jurassic Park is not a movie, but it's a documentary, we have evidence of what happens when you try to do this stuff. So I saw recently that they were going to be trying to bring back the dodo bird, which
I was like, that's interesting.
But what the hell's the point of bringing back the dodo? I mean, they don't even fly, right? But the woolly mammoth, and you're billing it with the idea of helping the environment, or as you so eloquently stated, making the world colder again. I think it's an interesting idea. But what really intrigues me is what the mammoth meatball would taste like. Because yeah, I would imagine maybe something similar to what an elephant might taste like, but I've never eaten an elephant either. So what do you think a mammoth meatball tastes like?
Let's go down the rabbit hole even further. Why the hell are you making a meatball?
So I wonder, yeah. So
what the hell is a meatball
all right,
for?
So,
did you cook it?
All right, we're about to go down a rabbit hole of science here. I have watched documentaries that some scientists believe that part of the reason the earth is warm so much are actually cows. We produce a lot of cows.
Oh, the methane?
The methane yep. gas from
yeah,
cows.
Yeah, the poop. In our, the,
well, exactly.
Yeah, we eat a lot of cows.
So maybe the meatball, the idea is maybe we're going to make the mammoths to eat the mammoths. If we maybe the mammoths aren't going to make the environment as hot.
Cannibal mammoths?
Well, no, I'm just saying like...
No, we're eating the mammoths. We're going to eat them.
Oh, okay.
We're going to stop relying on cows.
Keep them in check.
So we're going to have the mammoth burger.
Right, gotcha. Instead of cows, mammoths, and maybe that's better for the environment.
So it would almost be sort of like what they do like in deer season where we're hunting deer to keep that population in check.
I do not like venison.
Neither do I.
Venison, I don't care how you cook it. People say, the way I make it, it don't taste too gamey. Yes, it does. I don't care how you make it. It still tastes gamey. It tastes like you caught it from the wild.
Now, you would try a mammoth meatball, right?
No.
You wouldn't even be intrigued?
No. I don't know.
So you might not have guessed this about me because I don't eat meat now, but I used to try a lot of exotic kind of meats.
You ate gator? You ate some gator?
I've eaten gator. Ostrich. Boar.
Frog.
There used to be a bar when my wife and I lived in Maryland.
You're kind of nasty. That's nasty. Joe.
Well, no, they put it on burgers. It's a burger.
Exotic. I'm not. Listen, and I know this might be hypocritical because I know, you know, I don't know the cow that I ate, but I've been eating cow for so long. I mean, I'm just kind of used to it. I'm not eating gator.
You feel bad for the gator.
I'm not eating opossum, whatever you want to call
it. That's like roadkill. I don't know if I'm eating that either.
Like, listen. Like back in the day, there used to be some possum running around down south. Some folks were cooking. Not eating no possum. Not eating none of that.
But what about a raccoon? Would you go with a raccoon?
No, raccoon ain't eating no... Go ahead, leave that one
about
alone.
It. You're thinking
no,
about
No, you said
raccoon.
Cool. I don't know about that one. That one might
They're eat trash that. Pandas. They eat a lot of trash, man.
Trash pandas.
I don't think that one would taste very good at all.
So get ready, everyone. If these things are walking around by 2027, I'd say 5 years from now, you're going to go into a restaurant. There's going to be a mammoth burger.
I would eat a mammoth meatball.
How many mammoths do you have to clone before? Because, I mean, let's be honest. Like, they got to still grow up. They're not going to be like full grown mammoths.
Before we can start turning them into meatballs.
So but they're big.
You got to at least clone about, I would say, about what, 30?
Like
maybe
more.
Six. You got to clone a couple because you got to clone like so many males and so many females.
Well, now we're really.
And how do you know if they're going to actually mate and have babies?
Well, you don't.
We're really getting into the weeds of the cloning thing because I don't think. I mean, I assume this is like a test tube baby type deal. It has to be, right? So are you cloning it and it begins its life, the very first one, as an adult mammoth?
No,
well, that would speed up the process. You put a man and a woman mammoth out there. You get the family going,
right? And you could turn the first guy into
like
a meatball.
What if they don't have a choice?
That's not
I know some
them.
People are listening to this right now. But like, what the hell is going on? Why? What am I tuning into? This is what happens when we do show.
It's what's in you's head. It's a feature of the show.
This is what happens when we do show.
Rod was only available via phone call today, so this is why. That's why you're hearing what
That's what happens. All right, so we will track this for you. We will give you updates on this. And officially, you would not try the mammoth meatball?
No, I'm not eating no mammoth.
Kyle, you're in.
I'm all in on the mammoth meatball.
All right, I'll come out of meat-eating retirement to try a mammoth meatball. Let's talk to Gray here in South Philly. What's up, Gray?
Hey, Joe, you?
What's going on, man?
What's up, Gray?
First, before I get to my EMB point, Hugh, I got so much love for you, man.
Appreciate you. You know when they usually say that's about to go south.
But.
Let me finish. We loved you back down in South Philly, especially when you used that Steiner recliner on Jim Miller back in the day, man. We love that move, and, you know, anytime you want to come down South Philly, man, you're welcome, brother.
Appreciate you. But.
No, we just love that move, man.
Okay.
You know, the Steiner recliner, Hugh style.
Okay.
So, let me go to my NB. I got to ease up on him, man.
Wait a minute. Hold up, Gray. What am I saying that is not, like, where's the line?
No, it's the thing is that he is flat out better than Jokic. He don't have to prove that to me. I feel as though, I think in his mind, I think he's realized after these last 2 years, he is not going to get the MVP. He knows he doesn't play enough games. You know, a little stuff he do back and forth in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And Jokic don't do that. You know, the baddest thing Jokic had was when he took out one of the Mars brothers. Another wrestling move. So that's the baddest thing. So he knows in his mind now, they said, listen, forget the MVP. Let me just, me and Harden rest. Get this. I think he really is in championship mode this year because he knows the flack that's going to come if he doesn't make it past the second round.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope you're right about that.
Well, you are right about the flack. I mean, it will get to the point now. I mean, Gray, and I know he missed a lot of time with injuries early in his career, but if they don't get past the second round, we're going on year 10 since he was drafted next year. Like, that's a long time.
Exactly, and that's why I think he has matured. He hasn't fully matured, but he has matured some that I think he realized. He's like, listen, if I go out here, Jokic, he was playing Durant 4 times a year before he got traded, Giannis 4 times a year before he got traded, Boston 4 times. What is Jokic compared to them teams? Jokic's out west with just 3-point shooting teams, no big man. He knows he's the best big man in the game. And I think maybe Doc got in his head and say, listen, I need you to sit down. And I think he's going to sit tonight. I think he probably will play against Toronto this week and give it almost kind of like a full week off. But he doesn't have to prove. To me, he doesn't have to prove nothing. That 47-21 he had earlier, in fact, it was before the Super Bowl, he crushed him. He crushed his soul.
Yeah, he was the best player. He was the best player on the court that night. Great, you're right. And it was an amazing game. Great, we appreciate it. I mean, that's the one thing people will hang on to, but that doesn't mean he's going to win the MVP.
Yeah, and Gray, I understand what you're saying, man. But I look at it as a former competitor, and you know, direct competition with somebody. Even though that happened, sometimes you got to remind people that you are the better person because we tend to forget, especially as fans, man, because we are the live in the moment type individuals.
Mm.
And I know that a lot of people here in Philadelphia remember that moment, but nationally they probably forgot, you know, forgot about that moment. And I just look at it, and that's the question that even though, you know, we're sitting here and people are defending me, nobody has still haven't answered that for me. There hasn't been answered yet. I am not talking about, you know, anything else but his competitive spirit, knowing that this is a guy, especially after that article came out. See, I think people tend to forget. You're talking about the long game, which I totally understand and I respect. But I'm talking about in that short period of time when this story came out and you know that you're going to go up and play against this guy, and the fact that you've been chirping about this MVP all these months, and then you have an opportunity to go out and sway voters, and you don't take that. That's the thing that people still to this day, since we've been talking about this, have not answered for.
No, it isn't. Well, I think deep down people don't want to answer that part of it. It's
because when you start talking about all this other stuff and talking about the big pitch and all, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going off of what he said and his actions when it comes to this, and the fact that on the biggest stage, when he had an opportunity to change the narrative, he didn't take advantage of it.
Well, he didn't. Let's grab John Emaniak, and then we have to address an integrity issue here at WIP. What's up, John?
What up, dudes? First and foremost, you know, why aren't you bringing back Einstein if you want to lower the climate change? Why are you doing the woolly mammoth? Stop bringing back stupid animals that don't help. Bring back famous people that can help us out, you know?
Well, jeez. I think the rationale behind the woolly mammoth is that it's going to, you know, help the global warming situation.
Yeah, I'm also be a little worried about bringing back Einstein. We just can't be bringing back dead people, John. That's a whole ball of wax,
can of worms, man.
Can of worms, whatever. It's we can't do that.
The worms have been open for a while.
Yeah, I know, but that freaks me out. Like, we start bringing back dead people. We got. I mean, this is just, what are we doing here?
I hear you. Secondly, I know you guys mentioned it, but I did hear that the actor who played Father Karras in The Exorcist, and that short little old woman from Poltergeist, actually did go through Ben Simmons' house and clear the spirits out. So this will be Castellanos' best year since Cincinnati. And if you remember, I mean, he hit like 30-something home runs and 100 RBIs for Cincinnati the year before he came here.
Yep.
I think it was a weird transition, and, you know, I honestly, I think it's one of the better, like, if he was a stock, I'd be buying as much as I could of him right now.
Well, John, I hope you're right. You're right. 34-100 the year before, 309. John, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, in our WIP Fantasy Baseball League, Kyle and you, they did buy stock. They drafted. What round did you get him in? Six, seven?
Castellanos?
Yeah.
I think he might have been six or seven. It was a buy low move, I think. He was kind of staring me
in
the
face. Sounds about right. Yeah.
Speaking of the WIP Fantasy Baseball League, we have to address this. So we are, I mean, literally 2 days into this thing. I mean, the league started Monday night. Monday night. So we're 2 days in. And this morning, Hugh, one of the members of the league, I mean, is basically threatening to quit already. I mean, listen to this nonsense. Ooh.
I'm just announcing this right now. There is at least a 75% chance when I say I won't try in fantasy baseball, I might not field a team on a week-to-week basis. I had no idea, John, when I signed up for this league, how involved it is. No, like, just to give you for instance.
I love how he's already setting up that he's going to do
so
bad.
You're
he's
saying
like,
that you're
let
you're
me know ahead of time.
The
season hasn't started. I'm going to be bad at this.
Not just bad. I literally might try zero.
Well, understand the integrity of the league. You got to set a lineup. But if other people face you, and that's unfair.
No, but here's the deal. If I do it for the whole season, then it's equal across the board.
No, because, it's not, because your players will play. You have injured guys in your lineup that you won't know
why
about.
Why not?
Because, like, when you set your lineup to start the season.
No, I'm saying I don't set my lineup. I go 0 for the season. I lose to all of you equally. Because here's what you're – hold on.
Joe, we will never stop ripping you for that. History of your life.
I might do it.
Every listener will think it's the lamest thing that's ever happened.
Here's the problem. I don't even have an ESPN Fantasy Baseball League app on my phone. Like, I need somebody from the
you
station.
You can download
to do
it. It's super easy.
I need you to do
type
it
into the app.
I don't have 5 minutes. Dude,
what
I don't have
the app store takes 2 seconds.
My favorite part is how incredulous Seltzer is. Like, dude, what are you talking about?
That's a team player, Seltzer, right there. He's looking out for the rest of the league.
He's looking out for the station. I mean, Joe's quitting before opening day.
I just want to say I downloaded my app.
You're good.
I downloaded the app, and I'm ready to go. Yeah, that was bad. I don't know the way, especially when we sit here, we talk about, you know, integrity of the game and you know, talk about Joel Embiid. I don't know. I don't like to talk bad about my coworkers because I love them all, but I don't know what to say about that.
My life's a waste of time.
I don't know what to say
about
that.
I got you back here, Hugh.
No, but it's like you already, like, we're talking about built-in excuses. you've already got a built-in excuse. Well, I guess, Kyle, if that's the attitude he's going to take, we got one win on the season. So
well, we better hope. Now we can't lose to DeCamera or else it looks really bad on us.
I mean, it's not that hard.
You always got a way of spinning it to make it, like, I'm not looking at it like that. He's not going to even fill the team, so what's the problem?
Set your lineup. If someone's hurt, pick up another player. Like, yeah, it's not that hard.
It really is. This is ridiculous.
I mean, it's the dismissal that I can't do this. He joined the league.
And then he said, yeah, I'm going to try zero. What a jerk.
No, because it was like he realized how hard it is. It's no joke, and I'm not going to lie. If Kyle wasn't carrying me through this and holding my hand, probably be on that Joe DeCamera train.
I will say it's way more labor intensive than football.
Way
right?
more. Well,
yeah, it's day to day.
Full disclosure: I was not prepared to. You know, I should have figured because it's baseball. But I was like, wow. Like,
I'm always bad with the waiver wires.
I'm like,
I
man,
would
it
always miss the waiver wires.
I'm gonna be into it because I'm doing it for the station. But it was there was a lot. There was a lot.
There's a lot going on.
It was
man.
Daunting.
And you know, this ADD thing kicking in. I'll probably miss, like, you know, trades and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's bad.
Well, I found out today that the waiver wire has already been active.
Yeah,
wasn't Joe on the waiver wire?
Yeah,
I didn't like that. This morning, I was on there picking up players.
What that tells me is that he's feeling a little nervous about our matchup and
That's what we're going with.
I'm here to win. I mean, that's it.
That's right.
I'm just disappointed that. Or later in that show, I believe Seltzer told DeCamera to man up. Man up.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I just.
DeCamera's had a rough week though, man. He's had a rough.
I will say though, I want to give him credit. 37 of 50 is pretty good shooting free throws. That's what he made. 37 of 50.
So he getting his nipples waxed.
Well, he is because because he said he was going to make 80%. He made 74%. I mean, maybe lower the bar next time for yourself.
Why? Okay, I'm going to leave that one alone.
Well, apparently he didn't reach his benchmark
that
he had
saying,
less.
Of all the things, like, your nipples, though? Like, seriously?
Mm.
That's when dead air is like.
Yeah, I'm just going to let it be.
Hey, that's when they say you just let that thing breathe. Just let it breathe.
Let it breathe. I'm just saying, set your lineup, Joe. Bill's in Westchester. Let's grab Bill here. What's up, Bill?
Hey, I want to welcome you to the show in the area. I know he knows the area, but, you know, he's a great addition to your show.
Appreciate you.
Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
I want you to ask Joe DeCamera tomorrow morning, is a mammoth a amphibian, a mammal, or a creature guy?
I don't know. When the new version of mammoth, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I think they're creature
curious.
Guys if they're creating them in a lab or something.
Yeah. Now, the question is, if you're going to bring the mammoth back to replace the cows because of their flatulence, who's going to milk the mammoth for the dairy products?
Not me. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm out.
All right. I'm just trying to figure out where my milkshakes are coming
from.
Well, you know?
Bill, that's an important question, right? If I didn't think about that. The kind of the after effects of if we're going no cow here, what happens to the dairy situation?
This is a whole weird story, though. Seriously.
Now back to yesterday, and I was following you in regards to the competitiveness of an athlete.
Yes.
I have a theory about Embiid not playing the other night.
What is it?
Because beginning of the year, they did well against the team, right? Mm-hmm. And he made them look bad. This time, he's somewhat injured. And he doesn't want to go out there and perform and become the liability or look bad because then it would drag his ratings down for the MVP voting. So it would be strategically better not to play because then you can't measure them against them versus playing and getting your ass whooped.
Yeah, someone brought that up. And I understand the idea. And Bill, listen, we appreciate the phone call. I don't know what he was thinking to you. I don't know. I mean, look, if he went out there and played and won, he probably locked up the MVP. He didn't do that.
Yeah, and it's like I don't understand. Help me on this. It's not an all-star game. It's not the slam dunk contest.
No, it's a game.
It's something that, you know, when you talk about the positioning for the playoffs, you don't want any three of those games. It probably would have helped your seeding.
Of course.
Maybe. You didn't. And, you know, you had an opportunity to go out there and play against your direct rival. Like, again, I respect what you said. I still don't get it. It still does not make sense to me. It really, really doesn't. Because you have been compared to this guy all year long, and everybody wants to go back to that last game. Like I said again, nobody remembers that last game. Nobody remembers what you did.
No.
It's not the Janet Jackson song, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" What have you done for me lately? I don't understand that, and I don't understand why, as a basketball fan, that you like basketball fans are okay with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's I don't like, understand how you're okay with like taking your child or someone, your significant other, someone that you love to a game, say, hey man, it's gonna be a good matchup tonight. It's gonna be Joel Embiid and Jokic. And they're going to be playing against each other. We can see who the better player is. And then all of a sudden you get there, and he's a healthy scratch.
Well, I'll tell you, it's taken my enjoyment of the NBA regular season. It's lowered it over the years. I mean, I'm just not as interested because I don't know who's going to play in these big games. All right, fun show today. Back tomorrow. Dude, tomorrow's opening day. I can't wait for tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Tomorrow's going to be fun. If you missed any of the show, Odyssey app. We talked Castellanos and B, Jeff Lurie, and Woolly Mammoth. So go back and listen to any part of it. We have Marks and Reese next. Hugh, we'll talk tomorrow right here on 94 WIP.
Holla.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.